A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A good morning to you, Namibia. And good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. It's a Saturday morning. The 23rd of August, and the year is 2025. So our time is 4 minutes past the hour of 11, and this is the time we call Mental Health Hours. So welcome to Mental Health Hours, and that's actually from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. Around this time, we speak anything that has to do with your mind. So how is your Saturday? It's quite a busy Saturday, especially this part of the world. It's quite a very busy because of the trade fairs and there's so many things that are happening around. I think the president is also in the north, or in this part of the of the world. So there's so many things that are happening, and so therefore there's so much traffic. And when you're on the road, please make sure that you take care, you drive carefully, you pay attention, you concentrate on the road and drive carefully to save life and your own life as well. So, yes, good morning and welcome to Mind Matters. So this is the show that actually look at, look at the way you think and the way you feel and the way you make choices in life. And especially we're looking at those psychological patterns and the social aspect or social factors that affect then how you think, how you behave, how you feel, and how you behave. And I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli, and I'm a behavioral analyst who believe understanding the mind is the first step towards change. So if you want to change, either in terms of your feeling, in terms of your mind, in terms of your emotions and your behavior, understanding the mind is the first step towards change. And today we are tackling another big question, We are actually following. So when you come, if you have to be part of this show, you have to follow this show all the time, because our topics normally build on the other topic, on the previous one. So it's not just each topic is totally different. Yes, it's different, but it's building on what we have done previous week. So if I talk about already a month or so, within those a month, we had why men, you know, why men dying a silent death. We're talking about men actually taking their own life. What is going on? And we're looking at, a lot of things in terms of how do men actually perceive the challenge that they're going through? Maybe a whole issue of unemployment, maybe they were brought up. How do they perceive the challenges that actually they are going through, and how do they handle challenges, and what are the factors are contributing to why actually men are ending their own life. So we look at that, and then we pinpoint out one aspect. We look at the financial issues. Then we look at financial stress as one of the major factors that also contribute to. So that one we did with Elsabeth, who was also on the show this morning on Social Times. And then 2 weeks in a row, two Saturdays in a row. We're also looking at then at how do events, challenges, or just life itself, how does it push a person to the point where they feel that it is no longer worth living? As you can see, this is all in the same line or in the same aspect that we're looking at. And we had luckily enough, we had also Franz there giving us the practical experience of what he himself has gone through. And last week, I continue with this, looking at what are those, how do you go through these mentally? How do you go through this process mentally? When you're talking about events and challenges and life itself, push a person to the point where they feel that it's no longer worth it, worth living. How do you go through this mentally? So that's what we're looking at. And that's where I love to focus. And today, we're also looking at what then. So when you think about, you know, the events and challenges in life, so what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult? So that's what we're looking at. And what we're looking at, we're going to look at, if we have time, we can always continue these times. We're going to look at maybe certain things that, you know, most of the time, we're looking at, you know, as I said, sometimes we blame money, we blame politics, we blame others and things like that. Sometimes we blame others, but maybe the answer are actually simpler. Could be the answers that they could be very, 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 very simple than we think. So the often the toughest part of life come down how we think and react. So most of the time, it all comes to how we think and how we react. So, and when we're looking at this question today, so there are a few things that I want us to focus, maybe that you never really pay much attention to, how they influence how you think and how you react. And in that way now, looking at this aspect. They are not the only ones. There could be other things as well. But I specifically want to look at those one and see how this affect how we think and how we react, especially when comes now to the question that we're dealing with, which is actually what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult. So what we're going to look at, so aspect that I want to look at is unrealistic expectations. Okay. Have you thought about that? That this would also may have actually influence on your thinking and your reaction to life. All right. So we're also going to look at coping skills. All right. So we're also going to look at coping skills. So when I found someone, every time I meet someone having a problem, so the first thing you look at is how do they handle the problem? So we all going to have problems. We all going to have problem, and problem is not going to go away. All right. The problem is not going to go away for every one of us, no matter who you are. Whether you are Bill Gates or Elon Musk or someone sitting actually in Okatiti, yeah, in Katiti village. So we're all gonna have problems. But how do we handle problem? That's how do we handle problem, and the coping skills of handling problems, maybe that's something that we're lacking. Maybe not lacking, maybe it's actually determined from what you have been taught. You know, how to handle it. So that's another aspect that we're looking at. The other one is also lack of self-awareness. So you can only deal with one thing, what you know. You can only deal or manage something that you can identify, that you can be able to, that you know. So if you don't know how you're feeling, and I'm not just saying I'm feeling sad, let me give an example quickly, just to give you a prelude. So if you are angry, there is a moment when you are angry, you are not even aware that you are angry. And in that moment, when you are not aware that you are angry, is when actually you can do other things. We're talking about, you know, reacting. So it's when you just react. And later on, when you start to think, it's when you go, "Ooh, I was so angry, man." So now it's when you start to think. You understand? So that self-awareness, that lack of self-awareness, so that could be also something that maybe we haven't developed. And that's why we found life so difficult in that way. And also we then we're looking at the negative thought patterns. How do most of the time when something happened to us, we are more focusing on the negative impact. So, and focusing on the negative impact can actually develop a pattern within us that we only focus on the negative things that are happening. And then we develop, you know, with that pattern become our filter of how we see reality. So then we're going to go into that if we have time today, and also the lack of purpose and meaning. So it's very important in life. If you don't really have, it's like a company. A company have to have a vision and a mission. Okay? So because that, this whole vision and mission is what drives, you know, your whole, this is what drives your company. That's what drives what you do. So as a human being, we also ought to have, you know, a purpose or a meaning in life. It doesn't, your could be different from mine. So we're going to look into that as well. Without that as well, you might find life very difficult. So as you can see, there's so much that we're going to talk about, and make sure that you go and grab your cool drink. Well, if you're in the area, maybe in Wavish Bay or Swakopmund or Ludris Way, it's a bit cold. Make sure that you get your coffee or tea, or, you know, if you're on this part of the world, get Oshikundu. Okay? Get Oshikundu. Or if you're in Kavango, don't get on Devere. Get, what is that? Get Okatokere or something like that. Okatokere is also not good. All right. Get what is soft and, you know, sit and relax, and we are going, you know, to get into this. So, and for now, let me quickly, while I'm preparing as well, while also you preparing yourself, let's do this. Let's get a music. One of my favorite, Bryan Adam, Please Forgive Me. And after that, we get into this.
First night together feels like the first kiss. It's getting better, baby. No one can bear this. Still holding on, you're still the one. First time our eyes met, same feeling that feels much stronger. I wanna love you longer. You still turn the fire on. So if you're feeling lonely, don't. You're the only one I ever was. I only wanna make it good. Stop loving you. Don't deny me this pain I'm going through. Please forgive me. I need you like I do. Please believe me when what I say is true. Please forgive me. I can't stop loving you. Feels like the first touch. We're still getting closer, baby. Can't get close enough. Still holding on. You're still number one. smell of your skin. I remember everything. I remember all your moves. I remember you, yeah. I remember the nights, you know I still do.
What is the time? 21 minutes past the hour of 11. And that was Bryan Adams. Forgive me. All right. Welcome to Mind Matters. And as I said, from 11 up to 12 o'clock. I mean, up to 1 o'clock. This is a mental health hours. We also invite you on this show. We also invite you. We create this platform for you. If there are issues, if there are, if you have questions or something that you want to discuss with us, so you're also welcome. That has to do with actually, emotional and mental well-being. Maybe you know somebody that is actually going through some difficulties, and maybe you just don't know how to help him. You can create a scenario and we can look at that. Or also, maybe yourself, you are going through some emotional distress, and you would like to discuss that, as we can do that in a way that we don't go into some personal details. We can speak, you know, the situation itself and focus more on that. Yeah. And also, we also invite you, if you have an experience of something that we're talking about, I always want, you know, testimonies, if you like, or people coming with giving us experience of exactly what we're talking about. So I'll give some scenarios. I'll give some examples, but you know, we also want to hear from you. Come through. Tell us, you know, how do you deal with that? Whatever we're talking now, we're talking about what lies at the root of the problems that make life seem so difficult. So what is your experience? What is your experience like? So, I'm talking this from professional point of view, but also from personal experience as well. But I would like also to hear from you from personal experience. You can agree or disagree, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. So the whole idea is to provide information to someone who might need and be able to change their mind on something, to change their mind or to change their behavior for good, you know, in a better way. Also to have a more fulfilling life as well. So so that's why. So if you feel that you want to come through at any time after, you know, I will tell you when. If it's on something that you yourself going through and you want to talk about, we can do that. You can come at any time at all. I'll give you the preference. I'll give you the priority. So, but let me go through a few things. If you want to contribute on the topic that we have in today, so let me go through some aspect now, and then you can come through later as well. I also invite other professionals in this field, you know, to contribute, to come through, and also have your input on what we're discussing. So good morning, and let's get into it. So our question is really, what I'm asking is, what, you know, what normally sometimes, remember what I said, you know, sometimes we blame money, we blame politics, we blame other people, you know, and for the experience of life that we are going through, you understand? So therefore, my question is, what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem, you know, that make life, underline that word, seem so difficult? Sometimes it seems so difficult because of how we perceive that, isn't it? So, and I want us just to look at some aspect that we may not actually pay attention, which actually contribute to that fact. So whatever I'm going to say is actually in line of that. Okay? So let's start with unrealistic expectation. Okay? So every one of us, we all carry them. Yeah? We all carry unrealistic expectations. But before, to understand really what is unrealistic expectation, maybe let's start with what is expectations. Now, I'm not going to define this in terms of academic, what is expectation, or it's scholarly or something like that. No, I'm going to look at the, you have your definition, I have mine, and what I'm defining is based on what we're looking at. Okay, what lies, you know, what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult. So, and therefore, when we're looking at now, let's say one thing I said, unrealistic expectation is one of the aspect. All right. Now let's look at what expectation is. So for me, expectation is things that ought to be. All right. So expected either things that ought to be or what you ought to be. What you need to be, or what you, or what that they have to be. Okay. So expectation is kind of like, okay. So let's say, for example, remember expectation are also coming from, there are two ways. They are coming from you as an individual, from your personal experience, and much large of them are actually coming from outside. From the society, from your society, and I would call this coming from your environment. All right, environment. Now, I mean a lot of things. It's coming from your environment, from your society. Okay, and when I mean society, I now talk in terms of the cultural. Now, your society have some cultural expectations. It has some cultural beliefs. It has some cultural. So now if you belong to a certain culture or a certain society, there are certain things you are expected to actually live by or to do. You understand? So your expectation is not just your own. Sometimes your expectations are actually determined by the society you live in. And also the society actually set the standard of how you behave, of sometimes how you have to think, and how you have to make choices, because the choices are made for you. So there's an expectation from the society, okay? But there are also personal expectations. Now, that's why I said, for me, it's things that ought to be, or you ought to be, ought to have, okay? Or ought to be, ought to do, or something like that. So what you have to do, or what you... Now, let's give you an example. So before we come to unrealistic expectation, now, you, when you grew up, you probably expected, what is an expectation you have? You expected to get married, isn't it? So you expected to get married. That expectation, where does that expectation come from? So the expectation is coming from, it's coming from society. We grow in a society where people, when they reach a certain age, they must get married. So when you come to a certain age, and if you're, especially if you're a woman, so the already people start asking yourself, come on, so is there anybody in your life? So, and even if nobody started asking you, because that's a societal expectation, then you started already to, you know, pressure is already on you. You can't already start to think, oh man, I must get a man. There comes a stage where now you said, I need a man, or I need a woman. People also, a man as well. You know, you are now grown up, you have these and that, and you're not married yet. So there's an expectation now placed on you. Okay? It could be also an unrealistic expectation placed on you by society. So you understand? So now you are under pressure. And sometime you started actually to do certain things based on the expectation of the unrealistic expectation of the society or the environment where you find yourself. So I want you to understand that. So then you have also, think also, you got married. I said you got married. And now what is the another expectation of the society comes? Now the mother-in-laws and other people expect you just get married and only 1 year goes by, you haven't got a child yet. You know, you haven't got a child yet. So now, what is the society's expectation? What is the expectation? The expectation is that as soon as I got married, you know, I must have a child, you know? So what happened then when that didn't happen? Maybe just naturally, you know, whatever God, our way is not God's way. So what happened? You are now under pressure. So you know what that do, that expectation, that unrealistic. You may call it unrealistic because there's no, it's not up to you. Do you understand? So now, when we talk about now, and I'm just giving you some examples now of that. So when we're talking now unrealistic expectation, so then what are we talking about? Okay, so, and as I said, this expectation often come from also from outside, like society, and also like social media. Okay. So, and social media is one of those. So you see everyone posts their their highlight reel. Okay, so they post their highlight reel. You see photo after photo, a perfect life, you know, of somebody, a perfect life, and you start to expect your life should look like that too. You understand? But people only show the good parts, so you start now to think actually, oh, there's something missing in my life. All right, there's something missing. Why can't my life actually feel that way? I'm looking now at the personal one. Why can't my life also be like my neighbor, like so and so, or maybe a colleague you were together at school and now their career seem to knock off, and you kind of like, so you kind of like, you have this expectation of yourself. Why can't my life be also like that? You kind of place now this expectation, you know, of this unrealistic expectation on yourself, because everyone's life seem to be good. So now, expectations are good. We're talking about unrealistic expectation. So there's also expectation that you place to yourself that, you know, that drives you. So that drives you, and it drives you, and sometimes then that improves your life. So, but we're talking about unrealistic expectations. So we see already what that does to a person. All right. So what it means is, now what we're talking about here, now what I want you to understand is that sometimes when now you look at these people's life, you look at this photo after photo in social media, this person actually is their life, and you place now an expectation on yourself where you think that my life is not really perfect, and you want to now live up to that kind of life, you don't take, there are certain things that you're not taking in mind. First of all, your life is not the life of the other person. Your resources are not the same as the other person's. Where you are is not exactly the same where the other person is. So what that means is that now you start actually to place unrealistic expectation on yourself based on the life of the other person, which you are not. Say, for example, I see, can I really just get, you know, on a track with Frankie Fredrick, you know, and think that, you know, I can try. But if I place that unrealistic expectation, and when now he wins, let's say, for example, when he wins, I started to feel like I'm just a failure. Do you see the process? So just because I can't live up to that expectation that I placed on myself based on the other person's life or circumstances, then I'll see myself as a failure. And now remember this now. You may not be able actually to, you may not, your circumstances, where you are, your personality, or whatever the case may be, may not actually help you to be as much as the other person. You understand? So, but you're not acknowledging where you are. You're not acknowledging your abilities. You're actually just, you know, placing your expectation, this unrealistic expectation. It doesn't actually based on your ability. It doesn't based on your talent. It doesn't based on your personality. It based on what is placed to you, the expectations now that is coming from either the society, either from social media, or, you know, and what is expected of good life. So now the life, the society now explain, place, define what is a good life. You know, it's when you have these and that and that and that and that. And now you place that expectation of what a good life is on you. And who define what a good life is? So this is the web. This is in the web that we find ourselves. So that is the web, you know, of unrealistic expectation that we're talking about. So, and research have shown people feel pressured. Now, they feel pressured to match, you know, to match an image of that perfect life. So you feel pressured because you might not actually get there. Your whole life you will try now to get that perfect life, but you never get there. You just never get there. So you feel pressured. So you feel pressured now to match that image of a perfect life rather than your own real values, your own who you are, where you are, your abilities, your talent. Yeah? So this mismatch can make us feel like we are failing at life and we are nothing. Eh? And we are nothing ever. I mean, we will never be good enough. So then what does it mean? You see now, what does that create it? What does it create it? Because I cannot be able to live up to that perfect life, you know, which has been defined as that's the perfect life. Now you feel that you are nothing. Okay? Let's get to the caller quickly and see. But a good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Ah, long time.
Yeah. Where have you been?
I have been around.
I have been here, so it's you who have been missing.
Oh, yeah. One thing was missing, yeah.
Yeah.
But I have a question, but it's not related to that topic, ne?
Yeah.
On this confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias?
Yes.
Mm.
Let's say I'm a graduate, but I find it difficult to get employment.
Yeah.
Then we went to one of the church and they were told that the reason why I'm not getting employment is because there's a generation case or a bloodline somewhere, stuck somewhere. Is that a confirmation bias?
No, when you start to believe that, mm-hmm. Part of it, there's an angle that is part of the confirmation bias, but confirmation bias is when, let's say, for example, let me give an example. Let's say, let me say I tell you now that you're cheating. Someone, your girlfriend is cheating on you.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm telling you that your girlfriend is cheating on you. I give you that information. So now what happened now? Everything that you started to see what your girlfriend is doing is actually confirming. Now you started to see things that you never seen before.
Yeah.
Just because that I told you that your girlfriend is cheating. Now, even when they pick up the phone and go and talk outside, it's already confirming that, you see, she's going to talk. She's talking outside. So it's confirming what you believe.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So is seeing things now, you start just to see your focus. You started to see things that actually confirm what you believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And even in those action in themselves are not actually true, are not actually linked. There is no a link between what you believe and what the person does. You understand?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's I hope that helped a little bit to understand that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in that scenario that the one that I give to you, there's no it's not related to that one.
Yeah. What was the angle again that you said? I may not pay. What did you say it again at the end? What was the?
I'm finding it difficult to get employment, but I'm a graduate. But other people, other peers, they are thriving, but me, my life is just stuck somewhere.
And you
then
think?
I went to a certain church and they were told that part of the reason why I'm not getting employment is that.
Yeah. No, you're actually right. You're actually right. Maybe I just didn't pay attention. So you're actually right. Now, what you see, and that's actually now, that's why we call this a cognitive distortion. Yeah, that's actually that it's your reasoning distortion. Your mind is actually being distorted. It's because now you think that you started now to see that, yes, it is true. Because I went there and I went there and I went there. I went to that interview. I went to that interview. I went to that interview and nothing happened. I was not even called. So then now you think that must be true. So, and what does that do to you? Then you started to think that because now someone have done something to you, then you are out of control. That means now I am not the one in control anymore.
Yes.
So and then you feel, no, then I don't need to do anything because this is not up to me. It's because I'm actually bewitched by somebody, or it's because somebody have done something for me.
Or so, instead of maybe learning a new skill or soft skill, because some of the skills that we pick up at the universities, they are not really, they need additional soft skills.
But the thing is this, you are not the only one. You know, there has been other people who have gone to 20 interviews and not being actually got a job. So you maybe went just to 3 and you start already to believe that, yes, someone did this to me. So what you believe, it doesn't actually, it's not, you can't verify that it's true.
Okay, even if I apply, but it's not even because nothing is moving in the life.
Yeah. So as I said, that it doesn't mean that it's because someone did something to you. It's just the reality of everyone.
Everyone,
As I said, someone might have actually gone 20 times and never be called up, and you just went 3 times.
Yeah. Okay, my understanding is coming now.
Yeah. So it has nothing to do that someone have done something to you. Yeah. So, and if you believe in that, if you believe in that, then that would influence how you then whatever. So some might argue that, hey, but someone can do something to you. Well, you know, if you believe in that, that would
there is a generational case in your family.
Well, if those who believe there is a generational case, and then if you believe that is the case, then you may even better just sit at home and do nothing. Otherwise, whatever you do, it won't be succeeding. So, which then, if you really believe that maybe it's because I haven't been enough in the interview, or I need maybe to improve myself in terms of this and this, definitely the situation is gonna change. But if you sit and think that, well, because we are kids, what else can we do? You will now be feel that you are cursed.
Oh, waiting in a manner to follow from heaven.
Exactly. So, because when you tell yourself, this is the body is very, it's very amazing in the way, you know, and you have to be very careful. When you tell yourself you are cursed, you're actually telling every cell in your body not to do anything. You actually said, why bother? Because then, now when you want to do something, Your mind, your subconscious will remind you, hey, by the way, why do you want to do that? You remember that you curse.
Because it's what you're feeding your mind.
Exactly. Because you fed it that, you know, it doesn't forget. Your mind, your subconscious is like it's like your hard drives. So once you type, it's like internet. It's like internet. It doesn't forget, no matter how many years. So that's what he says. So now you want to do something, and then your subconscious tells you, hey, remember you are cursed? You know? And sometimes that it doesn't come to your subconscious. It doesn't come to your conscious, but you just that whenever you want to do something, you just find yourself, no, I can't do that. You know, but you don't realize that because you told yourself, or you believe that you are actually, your family is cursed or something like that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. No, thank you for coming through and for the questions as well. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I hope that's helpful. Well, I hope that helped. All right. So, okay. That was on the side. As I said, when you come in and you have an issue that you want to know, you could be a student. And there are certain things that you are actually learning, and maybe you want to have a better understanding of what that means. Yeah, so you're most welcome. If I can help, I will try. All right. So now let's get back to our discussion then. So we're talking about what is it, the key? What is it the so what lies at the root of the problem that makes life seem so, that makes life seem so difficult? And we are talking about unrealistic expectations. So And one thing that you can take away, maybe from what we have discussed so far, is that so society have expectation when you live in a certain society, and when I mean society, it could be many things. It's not just it could be your tradition where you grow. It could be your church. It could be a certain club. They always have some expectations. You know, you understand. You are expected to behave in a certain way. So there's always expectation placed on you by others. But there's also expectation that you place on yourself. So as I give an example of, let's say, for example, you in a society, you are expected to marry. All right. So now the expectations that you can put to yourself could be that my marriage should be always be happy marriage. You understand? So your marriage should be always happy marriage. When you get my life should be always a happy marriage. That's what we expect. But is now if your mind, which is your goal now, as and the unrealistic is that if in life I shouldn't, you know, there shouldn't be anything that seem to disturb that, and then now you start actually to live unrealistic life, because there will be time when you disagree, there will be time when you don't, when you argue, there will be time when you, so there will be many things, so that life wouldn't just be as perfect as you expected it. If that's an expectation, that becomes now unrealistic expectation. Yes. There is that I want my life, my marriage to be good, you know, to be peaceful, to be considerate with the other person, to be. So there are realistic expectation within, but when it become unrealistic, that's where now we're talking about that this mismatch can make us feel like we are failing at life. So we are, nothing is ever, that there's nothing that, where I think we are failing in life, where there's not, where nothing is ever good, where nothing is ever good enough. Okay. So, and when our expectation don't match reality, we get frustrated, we get disappointed, and that's how, we get into, depression and whatever, because, you know, and we are after this. We are after something that is not realistic. That's why I said when expectation don't match reality, so we get frustrated, we get disappointed, and that disturb our emotional well-being, it disturb our psychological well-being, and then we started to think that our life is not, it's just life is so difficult, you know. So you see that. Can you make that connection, how this aspect is so important, that we think, that we really pay attention to our unrealistic expectation. And sometimes we don't even realize them. Sometimes they're placed on us by society, as I said, and I keep emphasizing that. They're placed on us by society. So you get married, and you haven't given a birth yet. You haven't given a child in a marriage. Maybe you are not given a gift of a child. So that become now, that become emotional challenging for you, because the mother-in-laws, the society expect that by this time you should have a baby. You know? So the other thing is also, as an individual, also just for us to maybe look at what do we need? What can we do? Practically. So the other thing is that, what is your expectation? When you ask a person, what kind of a woman you're looking for, or a man you're looking for, you know? So what is your it's kind of like, what is your expectation of a person you're looking for in life? All right? So you have all this. Let's say, for example, you're saying, he should be tall. Maybe you're a lady now. He should be tall, handsome, good looking, well, handsome is good looking. Working. Maybe you said he should, one could be also could be rich or whatever you might want. It could be good career. Some of these kind of things. Now, so those are your expectations, okay? That you're looking for in a man. Now, you look at now. Sometimes then, how do you find? It's unrealistic because how do you find all this quality in one person at the same time? Handsome, good looking, good career, tall, and you might find someone who has a good career but is short, and you might find someone who is handsome but not have a good career. You hardly find, it's unrealistic in itself because you may not find all this quality in one person at the same time. Now, what happened? Your mind made this as a belief, because sometimes expectation becomes belief. So your mind becomes like a belief, and this is what you keep looking for, this person who doesn't exist. That's why you go from one man to another man, because you're looking for someone that does not exist. So now, do you understand what we're talking about? All right. It's expectation that we place on us. And on top of that, let's say, for example, now for argument's sake, let's say, for example, this person is existing now. The person exists. Now, are you beautiful? So if you're looking for someone that is handsome and good looking and have a good career, don't you think that person might be wanting someone that is very beautiful? Are you that beautiful? Are you, let's say, for example, you are short. Now you're looking for this guy who is tall. Maybe, don't you think, what does maybe this person look for? So what you're asking, the qualities you're asking, you may not have them. So you don't have the quality that you're asking. So you're asking something unrealistic because it doesn't match what you are. So do you understand that? And that's how we place actually, this. That's how now we started to see life. So life is unfair, or we started to think men are these or women are these because of unrealistic expectation that you place on yourself, of what you're looking for. Now, get me right. I'm not saying just get any rubbish any rubbish on the street, and that's not what I'm saying. You must have standard. You have standard, and there are certain things but your standard must be realistic. Not to the point that you actually become a victim of your own standards. So, are you following now? All right? So what can we do? Let's take some practical step when it comes to unrealistic expectation. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to check your expectation. Check your expectation now. Okay? So, think of one thing you are expect from yourself or from others. Okay? That's also now, this is also something I haven't talked about. It's also things that we're expecting from others. Okay? Is it realistic? So the other thing, it might be realistic in you because of your capability, but is it realistic for the other person? Mind Matter, good morning.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I am very well.
All right. Speak up a little bit, just a bit, yeah.
All right.
Mm.
Yes, no, I was listening as you were speaking.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to confirm.
Yeah.
Because you are going in the line of we go through what we go through mostly because we have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
So could it be that maybe we as a society, we have not normalized failure, as a normal thing in society.
Yeah.
But it's only success rather. And then now that comes up to be very unrealistic because it's not only success that we have in life.
Yeah. And you know, what have you done? What, that's the very best thing to know, that actually society have only, you know, normalized, you know, success. And actually downplay failure, and therefore when that pushes us to always succeed, but then we are different, you know, we're different. I cannot really be able to succeed to the same level as the other person, depending where we from, the resources we have, and our circumstances. So yeah. Then that's a good realization, and therefore when you can't reach that level, you say, well, I am actually where I am, and I will try my best to get where I want to be. So without really looking at someone else. Yeah. So, and I think that's a very good realization. Yeah. In your case, that's a very good realization. But someone else may not actually think that that's what the society have done to us. So you try to live up by that. So we're going quickly to a commercial, and then we can come back and continue this.
At my age, you start to appreciate things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
All right, you can go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Because, you know, as you were speaking, to me, I just felt like, I think if we are to change society,
yeah,
that we have better mindsets, we should incorporate failure as something that is normal. Because if we only go on success, of course we have success and everybody can be successful, but
yeah,
we also have failure. Yeah. Is a normal thing.
It's actually a way, I think what you're saying is that let's look at failure in different way. Like someone would say, failure is just an option, didn't work. You understand, this option didn't work. But it doesn't mean there aren't any other option that would work. To me, this didn't work. Let me try something else. So rather than a failure to say, you are doomed. You understand? The understanding of failure now is that you are doomed. You know? It's kind of like you can't get up there. You know, you are a failure. You can't get up there. Rather than to say, well, what I tried didn't work, so let me try something else. And the kind of a perspective that we should have when it comes to failure.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. No, thanks for coming through, man.
Thank you so much, Chief.
Great.
All right.
Yeah, so that's basically it. Seriously, yes. And this is a very good point that he's making. And that goes with what I'm talking about in terms of that. We talked about the society, the expectation of the society. Is it realistic? That's actually the question we're asking. Is it actually realistic? As I said, let's say, for example, the good one, especially that happened, you got married, you are not, as a woman, you haven't given a child yet. What is the expectation? So the expectation, even from yourself, you started actually, you know, I have counseled women. I have, and this is why I'm putting it. I have counseled women who have got married, and for 2 years or 3 years, they haven't given birth. They haven't conceived. So, and that becomes, you know, that makes their life so hard. What even the mother-in-laws, and also they make their life so hard because of that expectation. You understand? So certain things, and that's why I said some expectation has to be based on our ability. Okay? It has to be based on our ability. So even when you place expectation on yourself, it has to relate to your ability. Eh? So because otherwise that becomes unrealistic. So, and as we talked about social media, when we see other people's perfect life and things like that, and now we see ourselves as failure. Why do we call, like now what the caller said, why do we call ourselves failure? It's because we are comparing ourselves. We are failure because we are comparing ourselves that we are not as good as the other. But who says that I have to be as good as him? With my ability, okay? I may be actually love my family. When you come into my house, we are happy, we are whatever, there is love in that house. We may not be drinking from a gold cup, like the other house now is drinking from the gold cup, but there's no peace. There's no love in that house. So how do you define success? So how do you define success? Success would be depending on what you want to achieve. And if I achieve that, I want my house to be peaceful, to be loving family. That is success. You know? So we define success more into material things that, when you drive, and nowadays we have to be careful because we see some people in jail because when we looked at them, we kind of like, wow, that's success without even know where does that come from. Eh? Is it now you can ask, was that really success? Eh? Was that really success? So, we're talking about unrealistic expectations. And I just wanted to go a little bit deeper in terms of how that works within our minds. And now, what I want to say, I want now to look at, let's look at some practical steps that we can take to kind of like deal with unrealistic expectation. Okay? So, now, one thing is that check your expectation. As I said, check your expectation. Think one thing you expect from yourself and also from others. Because sometimes we apply our expectation of ourselves to others. Maybe they don't have the same ability that you have, that you have to understand where they are. Well, I mean, we don't say just because the person is being lazy or something. No, that's we can see that this person is being lazy. So there are certain things maybe that you may, let's say, for example, you are a successful, sometimes you're a successful, whatever, doctor or something like that. And now, let's think of this. There are those people when they are employed, you know, they have work. And there are people that now they don't have work and they're at home. And you kind of like looking at them and think, you know, they're just lying. They are doing nothing. And which is the case maybe. But they try so many times, man, maybe there's no opportunity for them. But your expectation of them, it's based on the fact that you don't find it difficult where you are. And you don't see the difficulty that they are going through. So think of this unemployed teacher. Eh? I'm one of those critics in terms of thinking, you know, okay, no, you want now to go away with interview. All right? But imagine someone who have attended now 20 interviews at different, in Katima, in Kietmanshoop, in Otapi, in whatever, and spend almost 13,000. Spend 13,000 and my expectation is based on where I am, where I think, you know, because the comfort and the ability I have, I think that that's what everybody has. So, and also in a relationship, the expectation, unrealistic expectation that we place on others based on, as I said, sometimes it's based on our societal expectation. Say, for example, what do we expect of a man? What do we expect of a woman? You know, some of those expectations may have made sense sometimes a century ago. It might not make sense now. Eh? So, and this is where now sometimes we put ourselves, we make our life so hard based on unrealistic expectation. Okay? So what I want you to do, for example, expecting yourself to be perfect. Let's say, for example, you're expecting. What I'm saying is that check your expectation. Are they realistic? I can tell you there are some expectations you have of yourself or maybe of others that are not realistic. So maybe you expect yourself to be perfect at work or to never upset, you know, to never feel upset. Okay. So maybe to never feel upset. Would that be realistic for you to never feel upset? So I want you, if this is an issue for you, what I want you to do, write it down. Sometime we would like to see or think about it. Think about what unrealistic expectation I have. You can also write it down. Sometime when we see something on a paper, that it hit us back, it reflect us back. So that's why we always ask people, write down this, you know, do this, write, is to have something on paper that reflect back. So, and question them now, question them how realistic they are. So the other thing is also then, like the call I was talking about, when it comes to goals, instead of a huge goal, like get the perfect job next year, all right? So that now get the perfect job next year. Define in small action. Put it in small action. Today I will research one company and send one resume. Okay? So you see this. That's this specific one action, smaller action. It will actually, each step now it becomes a move forward. So most of the time we have this junk, huge goal, which we don't then break them into realistic. That's what I'm trying, into realistic, you know, get the perfect job next year. That is unrealistic. It's a expectation, but it becomes unrealistic when you take it in that way. But if you take it in, if you now break that into smaller goals, it becomes step moves that moves you forward. All right? And the other things, talk about it. Talk it out. So share your expectation with a friend. If you have a mentor, always have a mentor. I can tell you, up to now, I have a mentor. You know, someone that you, it doesn't have to be like it's your counselor. It doesn't have to be like it's your counselor. It's a mentor. It's a person that you go to. So things that you want to advance yourself into, you know, have a mentor. Ask them nightly. Go to them, talk to them in terms of like, I'm a business entrepreneur. Maybe you want to become an entrepreneur person. All right. Certain things that you're going to go through as an entrepreneur when you start, how many of you quit? You quit because there's no one who is mentoring you. Find a mentor. Don't think that this is just happen. You don't just kind of like, okay, a mentor will come to you. And no, you find a mentor who actually help you to go through this. So as I said, share your expectation. The reason why I say that, have find a mentor, share with your friend, because this is now, I'm talking about a real friend and a mentor, because there are some people who might be, you know, however they think about you, those are not really friends. So now someone hearing your goal, and sometimes hearing your goal out loud can reveal if you are setting the bar too higher, you know, or other may say, hey, you are doing great. You never, they might, someone say, wow, you are doing great. I will see you doing this and this. They can give you a reality check and a perspective as well. So that's very important. So, and the other things, maybe from what also the previous the caller said, what I would like also to say, celebrate small success. Yeah? So when something goes well, even a little, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Yeah? So did someone compliment you at work? Let yourself enjoy it, you know? So if you get a compliment or because of something that you have done, enjoy it. Eh? Celebrate those small victories. Small victory, they also matters, because it's these small victories that actually build up the bigger victory, if you want. Eh? And they help. And those small victories, they help counter the negative filters. Eh? The negative filters that you may have about yourself. Yeah? And be flexible. That's another thing. So be flexible. Yeah? So, well, life throws curveballs, as they said, you know? So if plan doesn't work out, adapt. Adapt. Yeah? And write that word, adapt. The problem we have is that we think that things are fixed. Things should be only done in that way and only that way. I'm talking about things of life. Adapt. Eh? So instead of saying, this ruin everything, try. Okay, I will find another way. Eh? I will find another way. So flexibility can actually reduce, you know, and what we're talking about, flexibility can reduce stress and disappointment. All right? So, and remember, before we leave this aspect of unrealistic expectation, remember, expectation can be powerful motivator. Yeah? They can be powerful motivator, but if they are unrealistic, they hurt more than they help. Yeah? They will hurt more than they help. So, as I said, they can be powerful motivator. So adjust your expectation. It's not giving up your dreams, you know, because maybe a person thinks, no, it's not giving up your dreams. It's actually steering your ship towards achieving that goal. You are steering your ship towards, you know, achieving that goal. And once you align what you expect with what is real, eh? Once you align what you expect of you with what is real, you will likely feel less frustrated and also more confident. So on that part, so when we come back, we're looking at coping skills. All right, stay tuned. Let's have a music break because it has been a while. And this time, let's have Michael Bolton said, I love you. Or said you love me. What is the song? Said you love me. Yes, Michael Bolton. Coming up. You, but I was wrong. Well, that was Michael Bolton. So thank you for welcome back to Mind Matters. This is a show, this is your mental health show, where we don't really focus on the disease. When we're talking about mental health here, we don't really focus on your mental health conditions, the diseases and things like that. No, we focus on the process in your mind, you know, before you get to that. So we focus more on the process in your mind and how that your thinking, how actually the psychological patterns and also social factors affect now how you think, how you feel, and how you make choices. And today we're looking at the question that we're looking at is what lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so difficult. And one thing that we looked at unrealistic expectations. So, and other things, the other aspect is how we cope. Okay. And we're looking at more poor coping skills. So that's what we're looking at, how we cope. So when think about this now, I want you to think in a minute. Okay. So what I want you to think is think of yourself, in terms of like when actually life get tough, you know, whatever happened to you when the life really get tough and you have experienced a tough life in many ways, in different ways, okay? So some maybe you have actually experienced a divorce. Some have actually experienced that you were laid off from work. Some experienced that you know, maybe when you were young, whatever, when you were young, you, your parents have died and you survived by yourself. So some have, you know, whatever, you know, with the, each one of us have this tough experience. Now, so how you cope with this situation, you know, we all cope very differently, you know, we cope very different from each other. Now, if we cope differently from each other, now think of this now, if we cope differently from each other, what makes me cope in the way I cope? So what make me cope? What make me chooses to cope in this way as compared to the other person? And we also, that's also should be also an understanding. If we want to have a better understanding of other people, we also have to understand how other people actually cope with tough life, with tough moments in their life. You know? So someone, you know, let's say for someone has broken up, you know, so you break up. Let's two people actually break up, you know, their relation actually break up. So you have someone who is actually feeling, well, you know, I believe I was the best for him and he chose not to. And well, that's his loss. So how does this person actually cope with life, cope with break? So it also depend on your interpretation of that situation, isn't it? Have that in mind. So how do you interpret that situation? Now your interpretation is coming from where? So it's coming from your reference of value, beliefs, how you are brought up, what you have taught in life, what you experienced in life. So now I'm getting you there. So this is where now I want you to go. To say, if you find yourself not handling well, you know, a situation in your life, okay, well, maybe it's because I haven't been in this situation and I don't know how to handle it. Or maybe if I have been, you know, this is how I learned to handle it. Do you understand? So, and now be able to ask yourself, would that actually help me to deal with what I'm going through, or would that exacerbate my situation? All right? Now, you have two people. The other one said, well, I was the best thing. I think I was the best thing for him, and he didn't choose me, though. That's up to him. That's, well. And then you have this one who think, what did I do? Focus on yourself. What did I do? Didn't I haven't been, have I been not a good girlfriend? I washed for him. I cooked for him. I was there when he needed me. And, you know, you list all these things. What did I do? Where's the focus? So now, this is a coping skills. You are practicing already. You know, you're trying to cope with this situation. So, but what do you do? So what do you do? You exacerbate, you're actually even making worse of the situation by how you see. What, when you feel the way you feel now, you become depressed, you become emotionally. That partly that is triggered by what happened, but partly the suffering you are going through is not because of the situation. It's because of how you interpret that situation. And that actually is a coping mechanism. It's a coping mechanism. So your skill can become this. Whenever something happened to you, you become the victim. That's a coping skills. Yeah? So you may not actually feel good with the emotions that you feel, but this is the way for you to feel when people pity you, when people, you know, it's a coping skills that you use to be in a position where now people, you felt, you know, people can pity you and be able to comfort you and, you know, and you are in that, you are in that place. Eh? You are in that place because you have, as I said, the situation is actually a trigger. You know, it's a trigger to how you see that. It's a trigger to how you see that situation. Your interpretation of that situation actually create the emotional suffering, create the psychological suffering you are going through. It is not the situation itself. And that is also a coping skills. So now I'm coming from the level of your thinking. To the level of that. So, but there are also other coping, behavioral coping, coping skills, or mechanism. Yeah? I'll call it a poor coping skills. Yeah. That we use. So what happened? Now that actually you break up, what do? You started drinking. What you're trying to do? You try to numb yourself so that you don't feel the emotions that you feel. Do you understand? You start drinking, for example. Okay? You want to numb yourself, or you start to suppress the kind of feeling that you're going through by pretending that this is actually it didn't happen. Well, it did happen, but you're pretending as if, you know, well, it's not really hurting me. It's nothing. So denying you to feel the emotions that you feel. So you're suppressing the emotions that you're going through, denying that fact. So in psychology, they split coping into health and unhealth. So one is called adaptive and the other one is maladaptive, you know? So there's a healthy way of coping with the situation and unhealthy way of coping with the situation. Would you say if you break up with somebody and now you're depressed, would that be a best way of coping? Would you regard that as a best way of coping? So you remember where I said at the beginning, I said, we blame money, we blame politics, we blame situation, we blame other people. But being depressed, and I'm saying this, being depressed is something it's something that you know, it's not that every one of us can get stressed and something had to happen, we get stressed. But the continuations of being in that state has nothing to do anymore with the situation. It has to do with you. It has to do with you. It has nothing to do with them with anymore with the situation. Our reaction at the moment when things happen, of course, we are human being. We react in the way we react. So we become disappointed. We become angry. But if you continue angry for 2 years, that has nothing to do with the situation anymore. It has to do with you. And that can become actually a coping mechanism. Because why? You can ask me a question, how can being angry be a coping mechanism? It does, because it's fulfilling something within you. It does fulfill something in you. And you may ask, what would that fulfill? No, by being angry, it justifies for you being maybe not be able to talk to the person, being able not to, you know, to justify of what they have done to you. So it's still actually, you know, it actually has some good, which are not good. It has some good for you you know, to justify why you shouldn't be talking to him, why you hate him, you know, you hate the person, you know, why you continue hating him is because now that you justified, you know, in the way now that you don't talk to him and all this and that, it's you, you know, that has to do with you. And it becomes now, that hatred becomes a coping mechanism. It becomes a coping mechanism for you. Are we following each other? So, and there comes the one, there comes the one of the behaviors, that the maladaptive, you know. So think of your drinking, for example. So why do you drink? That's a straight question. Why do you drink? Well, you may say, well, you know, just socialize with others. It's a socialization, okay? What does it mean? It means that sometimes you cannot actually take being alone by your side. So you cannot take being alone by your side. So what do? You know, because you can't handle that mentally. And therefore, the only way to cope with that loneliness is actually, go out. And when you go out, so it's then we started drinking. So drinking would help you temporarily forget whatever, you know, whether it's loneliness or other problem that you may have. So temporarily, at this point in time, you're not thinking about it because chemistry has been activated within you to not to be able to feel that, you know? So temporarily and then what happened? You continue in that way because you don't want to feel that. So because you felt, okay, I couldn't think of my problem last time. So then it becomes a coping skills. It's an unhealthy coping skills. But it temporarily, it's actually helping me to cope with the problem. But in the long run, when you're drinking, you become alcoholic. And in the end, what happened? You know? So you may lose work because of your drinking problem. You may lose, you know, your family because of your drinking problem. So whatever the case may be. So you see, that becomes a coping skills, but it's actually unhealthy coping skills. So are you following me? All right. So if you have an experience, or any examples, and you want to share, please do come through. This is your show as well. Our time is about 37 minutes past the hour of 12. We still have about 20 something minutes, you know, to go. So do come through and share your experience or your input as well. Mm-hmm. So it's highly, 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 highly appreciated. So the unhealthy coping, it just tries to make you feel better now, but it doesn't fix the root problem. It doesn't fix the root problem. And study shows adaptive coping, the healthy coping, is linked to better mental health and resilience as well. What you do is this, because what you do is that you develop a pattern of always, you know, it's a kind of like, you know, when you do exercise, what you do, you're actually building up the muscles. Okay. So with adaptive coping, you're actually doing up the same thing. You're building up the muscles that help you to cope well, you know, and that's why I said it's linked to a better mental health and resilience, because you have built up those muscles now. Whereas the maladaptive or unhealthy coping, it's linked with higher anxiety. Yeah? So the reasons why you're probably drinking is because you don't want to feel those anxiety, those problems. It's linked with depression and other issues. So, now you ask yourself, you know, where am I? So what I'm trying to say that your coping skills might have actually make your life hard for you. Your coping skill might have actually make hard, life hard for you. So because that's what we're looking at. We're looking at what lies at the root of the problem. So that seemed to make life so hard. It could be your coping skills, your poor coping skills. Are you following? So, and this is what I want you now to think about. All right? So think of this. This is also, the other thing is also, other unhealthy, in our time now, unhealthy coping might be, as I said, it could be my drinking to forget problem. It could be actually scrolling endlessly on social media. What do you want? You want to numb out. Eh? It could be procrastinating on important work. So those are some of the things. The other action, experts say action like avoidance. Eh? Avoidance or suppression of your feeling. Pretending that, you know, I'm fine when you are not, those are form of also unhealthy coping. When you suppress your feeling, pretending that you are fine, that's actually also, it's what those, and how many of us that do that? And remember, there will be always a contradiction in your body. You contradict it sometimes when you are sad and all that, how are you? No, I'm fine. You know, muscles always tell you that, you know, you can see that your muscles are still tired and looking sad, and you're on top here, you're saying you're fine. You're contradicting your body, you know? So the thing is that this, and what I want you to understand is that this might, you know, might feel like they are helping for a minute, but only until the stresses comes rolling back. You know, at that point in time, you feel that it's helping, but once the stress come rolling back again, you're in the same situation, and then this becomes a habit, and that's why we find ourselves in those coping habits, you know, which we now don't even think about. We just think that this is the way we are. And because we're repeating this over and over, we find our life so difficult. All right? So those are some of the things. You know, I just want to understand that you develop this habit now and you don't come out. Eh? You don't come out because you have developed the habit as a coping skills, as a coping choice. So, and then it becomes habit. It becomes second, you know, you're part of, you don't think about it anymore. And I said, sometimes it felt productive short term, but it caused a burnout later. You know, as you go through, as later you find it in life. So how do you cope better? All right, how do you cope better? And I want to give you some tasks to try. All right, so I want you to give you some tasks to try to cope better, to learn to create coping habits that are better, that are healthy. All right. Now, that was it. A way of coping, if you don't stop it, it becomes a habit. And you are now entangled, or you are in this, which you don't even recognize it, that because it becomes your habit. All right. Now, whenever you feel sad, what do you do quickly? You go and drink. Okay. You go and drink. It has become automatic. You don't think about it anymore. You just do it. Yeah? So whenever something you run into yourself, into self-pity, you know, let's say, for example, you grew up without parents, you know, without anybody taking care of, and you now, you have this self-pity. Anything that happened to you, you run into self-pity. Nobody loves me. Nobody do whatever. What does it create? It becomes a habit. Then it created a constant depression. A constant depression. Yeah? And that becomes a habit. So, one thing I ask you, a task that you can try, is notice your habit. Over the next few days, all right? Over the next few days, watch yourself. Watch yourself. So when stresses hit, when you get stresses, what do you do? Just watch yourself. What do you do? So do you sink into the couch, eat junk food, or maybe get angry at another person? Eh? So just, if you want, write it down without really judging yourself. So, because this is what, when you are aware, that's actually the first step. That is actually the first step. So you can't change things that you're not aware about. So notice your habits. So when you are stressed, what do you do? Okay? So, and someone becomes like, whenever they are stressed, what do? They eat junk food. And sometimes that's why, from the beginning, that's why you end up the way you are. Yeah? That's why you end up overweight. Yeah? It becomes a habit, yeah? As a coping skills. It's not a good coping skill. That's why we call it maladaptive. It's unhealthy, but it's become a coping skills that create the condition you find yourself in now. So awareness is the first step. That's why I say notice your habit. Okay? If you want to make a change, just, you know, be aware of what do you do, all right? When you're stressed. Now, pick something new, okay? Pick something new to do the next time you feel stressed. Now, what it means is that don't do what you normally do. Now, do something different. What do you normally do? Let's say, for example, when you're stressed, the only thing that you do, pick up the beer, or you pick up what alcohol you take. Now, this time, maybe just take a walk. All right? Talk to a friend. Do what is naturally would be, you know, this is a suggestion. I'm kind of think of what would be better for you and what would be in your availability, what would be available to you. All right? So, as I said, you know, sometimes it's just, in some cases, it just take a breath. Take those three slow breaths. Eh? It does. So, and sometimes people find this very funny. I was talking to my daughter the other, was it yesterday already? She was talking. No, I did, I think she did a presentation when they have a presentation that she make, and she told me, you know what? I always feel afraid. I always feel this afraid when I'm presenting something. And I said, everybody does feel that, you know. But what I do, and this is she just say herself, what I do, I normally just have some kind of like a deep breath, you know, and a second just be quiet and breathe a little bit, and then that always make me feel better. And then, you know, then I start. Then I have a little bit fear. Then the fear become a little bit less. Well, you know, I joke with her. This is actually one of the One thing, one of my lecturer actually, when it comes to presentation, has always tells me that, you know, when you present, but don't take it literally. So when you present, just think that everybody who's there is an idiot. You know, they know nothing. You are the only one, you know? So in the way, it's not that they know, it's to help you be calm, because knowing that you're the superstar, somehow that gives you some confidence. You understand that everybody here, I talked to her and I said, yeah, when you are ever presenting, just think that even the teacher thinks that they are all idiot. Okay. You're the only one who knows. So it was a joke. Yeah. But the thing is this, what, you know, that deep breath, what it does, remember, when you are tense, your breath becomes short. So why? Because your mind, it takes any threat as something, it takes any, even of those tense moments, it's like a threat to you. So in their mind, your mind prepares you. So that's why, you know, you're not breathing anymore normally. So you start to breathe very fast. So when you breathe, when you slow breath in and out for one deep breath, what does it say? That tells your mind that I'm actually okay. Just that breath, that deep breath, it tells your mind that I'm okay. And that's how the intensity of whatever feeling that you have goes down. So that's why I've said, now, if the habit was just to pick up, you know, to pick a beer every time you stress or, you know, withdraw or whatever, now choose an adaptive behavior. Choose now a healthy behavior, you know. And once that becomes a habit, it becomes a part of you now. What has become part of you is something that is good. It's a healthy habit. Instead of grabbing beer, you actually now, you know, maybe talk to a friend or take a walk or whatever the case may be that now. Okay? Or you take a book to read, whatever the case may be. So that's actually my, when anytime when I found myself stressful, you know, what I used to do is take a book to read. So now, instead now, because that the reason why I take a book to read, it takes me off. So my mind, it gets into the book what I'm reading, you know. It gets really into what I'm reading, and then it takes my mind off from whatever stresses me. So now, that as a coping skills, as it becomes a habit, then I end up actually reading quite a lot of, you know, quite a lot of materials that help your knowledge. You see, that's more a health skills. That's also a health mechanism, coping mechanism, you know. So that's what I'm trying to help. Notice how you feel and sometimes see how you feel afterward compared to how you usually feel, to your usual habit. So does it make a difference? That is actually make a difference in your, if you instead of actually took a beer, you actually took a walk or you read or you talk to a friend, how does that make you, how is that feels compared to what you normally do? And it's not a quick thing. It's not a fix. It's not like this and then, yeah, no, I'm good already. So this is not, no. It takes energy. It takes skill. It takes resilience. So, and if something is bothering you, make a simple plan. For example, so maybe email, you know, your, now, so, okay, the example that I was thinking wouldn't that make sense? All right. So now what I'm saying is that now we're talking about coping skills. Eh? You see, so sometimes things, you know, are like massive. But if you break now these big problems into little steps, you know, because we can't just solve the problems. Like sometimes these are big problems. So what you can do, there's a first step that you can take that lead to another, that lead to another, that so slowly by slowly you're breaking down the problems into steps. So taking, you know, smaller action is, it's actually a powerful coping skills. So to a bigger problems. All right. So rather than thinking just how do I solve these problems, think of taking smaller step. All right. And that's how it works with any dreams that you have. It's like a dreams, whether it's a positive dream. It doesn't just come like boom, your dream, you have it. You take smaller step towards that dream. So it's a similar thing. So if you want to pass your exam, which is your goal, you don't just, you know, pass. You do little things. You make sure that you sacrifice what you had. You wake up a little bit early morning, maybe to study. You eat well. You schedule time when you do. These are smaller steps. But in those smaller steps, they're actually building up your bigger step. Think of in terms of health. Okay, in terms of health. Let's talk about teeth. What do you do? You do a smaller teeth. What is that? Smaller teeth? Maintain action. It's just actually brushing your teeth every day. But brushing your teeth every day is a simple step that you do. But in the process, it's actually keeping your teeth health. You understand? So look at the problem in the same way. Break big problems into steps, little steps. So this little step actually build to how you can solve, to a habit, and habit normally lead now to dealing with that problems. Now, the other thing is also build a support routine. All right. You know, a support routine where you, like maybe a weekly coffee with a friend or tea, whatever, or a cool drink with a friend if you don't drink coffee. So you build, have a lunch, maybe, or like a short walk or a lunch with somebody, with a friend. So as I said, build that support routine, you know, for a regular support in what you want to change. So in the way that become a coping skills, you understand? You understand? It is also the, when you have now this support routine, as I said, build this support routine, it becomes a habit that actually support what you are trying to achieve. Okay? Are you following? You see the advantage of that. And that is something that actually I helped somebody. I recommended somebody. It's not me, actually. I know her quite well. She didn't pick me now to be there. But she got actually somebody else now who they, on a weekly basis, they meet. And she actually have a struggling business. The business is struggling, but she also have a problem of too charitative. It's not the word. Too accommodative. Anybody who comes and having a problem of this, she gives and end up in trouble. End up really in trouble financially, and also, you know, that also contribute to her own emotional stress. So now she got actually somebody. I said, look for somebody that give you that support. So who you actually sit, invite them always to lunch, once a month, if you can't afford a weekly basis. So once a month or whenever what you afford, and then you have this support, a person that you really think they maybe they are a model, they are actually a role model to you in what you want to achieve. So that becomes a support. And learn to do that. And this is what I'm asking, get a mentor. Yeah? So not a mentor now. In this case, it's not a mentor in terms of like we go to class, let's sit and officially do. This is somebody, you sit with them and you have a lunch, but you also run some issues, kind of like, you know, I'm experiencing this. What do you think about it? You know? So build that support routine. Okay? And also then, you know, ask for help when you need. That's very important. Ask for help when you need it. It is very important. Help is out there. All you need to do is to ask. Sometimes because of our pride and I don't want people to see me, you know what? My friend, if you don't, nobody knows what you're going through. So, and by asking help, I want that to be, especially for men, I want that to be a coping skill. Because the reason why sometimes with the previous we talk about why men are actually dying in silence is because they haven't mastered the skills of asking for help. So we're trying to build up skills that we need to help us deal with the reality of a hard life that most of us are experiencing. You know what? When you have fun, time flies, man. It's already 1 o'clock. So we still have actually three aspects that we need to look at. We still have the self-awareness. We're going to talk about that as well. We also have negative thought patterns. And also we have a lack of meaning or purpose. So hopefully we'll be able to finish that next Saturday. So make sure that you tune in. We will have part two of what we have discussed today. Part two is coming up next week. What lies at the root of the problem that make life seem so hard? So today we look at unrealistic expectation, and we're also looking at the lack of coping skills. And I also looked at help you to with some practical things that you can do that might help you improve those aspects. So, well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being those who have come through. Thanks for participating. As I've always said that this is your show, this is your platform where you can come through, because sometimes you really need help. You might have no one that you can speak to, that you feel confident to speak to, or that you can trust, but you're dealing with something. You know, you don't have to say that it's you. You also said we're not going to speak personally. You can put it generally, and then we can look at it in a general way. And if it's something that maybe that I said that I may not be able to help you, this is a whole thing. I may take your number and really refer you to people who may be able to help you. I have a colleague who can actually be able to help you, whatever you may go through. So, yeah, make use of this platform. Make use of these resources. They come into you for free. Eh? All what you need is just to tune in and listen, and like many other things that we provide here. So make use of them, and to help yourself and to help others that may need that help. All right. So let's end up this. Let's end up here. And I wish you a really, really good afternoon. Stay tuned because Elizabeth is coming up with Elizabeth Wald. So from me, Michael Chiavelli, wish I had actually, you know, okay, I had a quote. I forgot about it. I wanted, it's a very important quote, but anyway, so I do that next time. All right, have a great afternoon and stay tuned for Elizabeth. So let me leave you with, let me get one of my, Elizabeth, please let this song play. Okay, so let me leave with Brandy a little closer. So until next time, until Monday, actually, on Unpacking the Day. So goodbye.
To tomorrow. someone loses someone they love every day. And I'm fortunate enough to still have you in my life. And I know I made some mistakes in the past, but I'm tired of making excuses. Let's see.
For whatever might have been, and all that it never was, whatever I couldn't see, and all that I did wrong. There was a method to my madness, girl, that wasn't clear to me until the day I saw your face when I saw everything. For I saw us dancing through sunshine and rain, and I saw us laughing through joy and through pain, and I saw time passing, but we did not change, and I still saw us together. The end of every day.
Whenever you want it, whenever you need it, whatever you feel like, it's gonna be like, you better believe it.
Whenever you feel like dancing, you don't have to dance alone, no. You should already know. I choose you. I felt you inside myself before I could even feel. I knew you like no one else, but still I couldn't tell. Oh, girl, none of it made sense to me. Girl, none of it was real. Until the day I saw your face and it was clear to see.
Whenever you want it,
whenever you want it,
whenever you need it,
oh, whenever you need it, baby,
whenever you feel like it's gonna be like, you better believe it,
you better believe it.
Whenever you feel like dancing, you don't have to dance alone, no,
no.
You should already know.
Have searched their lives, hoping that they might find the chance where they can make things right. Through my desire, thank God I found the fire. Oh, for everything has led me straight to you, you.
Whenever you want it, whenever you need it,
baby.
Whenever you feel like it's gonna be like, you better believe it.
Oh, you better believe it.
Whenever you.
You don't have to dance alone, no. You should already.